Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Last week, the papers were full of stories about ultra-processed foods. So I know, you know, we all know fizzy drinks, crisps, they're bad for you. Big deal, right? But did you know wholemeal bread, almond milk and plant-based burgers, they're also ultra-processed. So in the studio with me now to talk about it is Sarah Keogh, dietitian from eatwell.ie. Sarah, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm scared.
Please don't be.
Yeah, that's the first thing I said when she walked into studio. I was like, Sarah, am I going to end up wanting to clean out everything that's in my kitchen cupboards after our chat? And she said, no, there is no scaremongering going on here.
Well, I think the whole thing with all the headlines is frightening the life out of people. And the thing about ultra processed, and I think one of the first things I'd love to just get across is even nutrition experts and scientists do not agree on the title ultra processed. So I was at a conference on ultra processed foods in London in January. And while I won't say anybody came to blows, but there is massive disagreements about it.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that you have this blanket categorization of food. And
like, yeah, so can I just ask, yogurt is ultra processed?
Yes and no. So what
spice bags, ultra processed.
It depends. And this is the thing with nutrition all the time. You have your apple and you eat your apple. That's totally unprocessed.
Okay.
You slice that apple up and put it in a bag. It's going to go brown. So you put something in it to stop it from going brown, which is often vitamin C. But that's now a processed food. But then if you take that apple and then you stew it, puree it and stick it in a pie with pastry, then it becomes a very processed food. And so on up the chain. So it's not that no processing and then ultra processing are all the same thing. There's stages and categories of it. And it was developed in Brazil as a way of trying to categorize foods. But like all of them, none of them work. The European Union have technically been under a legal obligation to do this since 2006. And they shelve it every so often because you can't get a blanket across the board with all of these foods. And as you said, if you technically look at the ultra processed, you have whole grain bread in there. And we know people eating whole grain bread, even the stuff that you buy in the supermarket, live longer, get less cancer and get less type 2 diabetes. So we can't group everything as ultra processed and throw it in the bin.
It's a hard one then, though, if the experts can't even agree, how can the common folk like me figure it out?
What has happened is that there is this debate about it and a whole lot of research going on with it. But the newspaper headlines are running with it as actual fact.
OK.
And let's just back up. When we look at,
No, I get you.
So what it is someone is trying to sell a book and get a TV career and get all of this on the back of it. And then when you ever see something that's scaring people about food, I'd always go follow the money. Who's making the money out of these scary headlines? So let's just come back. When we look at studies on the ultra processed food, and what you would have seen last week was more heart disease in people eating ultra processed foods. Let's take out the breads and the breakfast cereals, the high fibre breakfast cereals, because we don't see that issue with them. But we do see it in people, as you said, living on biscuits and sweets and cakes and chocolate and crisps. And honestly, who is going to be surprised by the fact that if you eat huge amounts of these foods, you get more heart disease?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Mm. I mean, but reading the reports.
Yeah, they're scary.
Yeah, and it's just the idea that ultra processed foods associated with people just think weight gain. But it's inflammatory problems. It's diabetes, as mentioned.
Yeah.
It's heart attacks. It's strokes. Yeah. It's cancers. Like, how seriously do people need to take this?
Well, it's literally no different to any other healthy eating advice that has been out in this country in the last 20 years.
Mm.
Eat your 5 a day with your fruit and veg, 5 to 7 a day with your fruit and veg. Eat your low-fat dairy. Eat your proteins. Eat lots of fibre. Eat your whole grains. And don't eat loads of junk food. Basically. So it's literally just dressed up in a new way to frighten the life out of people. And one of the things we have to remember about kind of very ultra processed foods like your sweets and your biscuits and your chocolate, it's not just what they have in them, it's what they push out of your diet. So if you have sat down and had a whole bag of crisps, how much broccoli are you going to eat later on?
Okay.
And if you've had a whole packet of biscuits, you know, what level of whole grain bread are you going to sit down to? So it's partly that these foods are higher in things like salt and saturated fat, which is their own
issue.
But they're pushing out then, you know, so as we see those very processed foods going up in someone's diet, we see all of their nutrition come down. Their vitamin C goes down, their fiber goes down, their B vitamins go down, and they have a contribution then as well. So it's not necessarily that eating those foods themselves are bad, but they're often a marker for low nutrients in other places as well.
One of the things back on the scaremongering, just because I'm trying to alleviate my own stress, there were reports of links between having this stuff in our diet and mental health issues like anxiety, depression, dementia.
Totally.
So can you just explain to me in as simple terms as possible.
No problem.
What is the evidence there?
So again, and I'm going to talk about when we talk about treat foods and junk foods with that, there's very strong evidence that people eating substantial amount of those have more depression and anxiety. And there's two things going on with that. One, when we look at those diets, those people are low in B vitamins. Okay. And if you're low in B vitamins, it does predict more mental health issues. And if you're low in fibre, fibre and the gut and mental health is very strongly linked. So if you're low in fibre, same thing. So these diets are pushing out the B vitamins and they are pushing out the fibre. But also, when people have anxiety and depression, they are more likely to go for those foods as a way of making themselves feel better. So we don't know whether the foods themselves are causing the depression or if the depression is causing the eating of those foods.
So it's not so much then about the eating of the food so much as possibly pushing out the good foods.
Exactly.
It's what you're replacing. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Mm. What about the way these things are packaged? I always think about this because the plastic that goes into the microwave, I'm guilty of microwaving meals. You know, I do buy some of these ready-made meals and put them in the microwave, and it does cross my mind, am I ingesting some of that plastic or...
Yes, basically, in most cases. Now, the thing we have to watch is, one of the things that a lot of people don't know about is what we call food contact materials and the amount of research around what touches your food. So if you buy a box of cereal, you have the cardboard box, but you have the plastic bag that it's in.
Yes.
And that's called a food contact material. And that has to go through huge testing to see, is there chemicals in that contact getting through into the food? You want to see the food legislation on this with that. So most people in a million years never thought that the manufacturers and the authorities and everybody sits down and goes, well, you can't actually put it in lead-lined tins because you'll get lead poisoning. Do you know what I mean? So there's rules about what you can and can't do. But like that, science moves on. We see new studies, we see new research come out. What we talk about sometimes is microplastics and whether they're coming into our foods. But we have that if you drink water out of a plastic bottle. We have microplastics. You wash your clothes, it gets into the water. So that's there. So yes, we do want to reduce plastic contact if you can in what you're doing.
Is it way worse though when it's been heated?
We don't know. Okay. Possibly. But, you know, the advice is to take it out of that packet and heat it on a separate plate.
Oh, okay. With that. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay. Let's look at the average school lunch because I think this is interesting with people going back to school and stuff. And just I have personally been trying to bring in my own food a lot more into work.
Yeah.
So let's just start with a basic like sliced pan or even the wholemeal one, ham, butter, margarine, whatever it is. What's in there that might harm people?
Oh, nothing at all. And I have to say, the conference I was at in January, there was nearly bloodshed over whether margarine should be eaten or not eaten because it's an ultra processed food. And yet, if you eat it, you get less heart disease than you do if you eat butter. So there is the ultra processed.
That's confusing.
But, well, you see, but this is what I'm saying. Like, it's you can't have a blanket ban across this ultra processed. So, like, if you're having whole grain bread in the lunchbox, whether you buy it in a supermarket or make it yourself at home, absolutely fine. Like, a lot of people don't think of bread soda as a food additive, but it is. So if you're making, you know, wholemeal bread at home and you put bread soda in it, you've put a food additive into it. So, which is fine. No one needs to worry about that. It's absolutely fine. So a child going to school with a brown bread sandwich, fantastic. If they want to use margarine, absolutely fine. The ham, we don't want kids eating a huge amount of ham because we know that eating a lot of processed red meat has a very specific link to a slightly increased risk of colon cancer. Now, that doesn't mean never give your kids ham, but if you could get something in on the other days, that would be brilliant. But that's separate to it being even a processed food. It's a particular issue.
So would you be very particular now about what you're eating for your lunch?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. So you're not terribly worried.
No, and I'd love people to actually go for lunch with more dietitians. And I mean registered dietitians who've studied, like done a degree in nutrition, because we are so relaxed about food. It's hilarious. What you will always see is plenty of fruit and veg. What you will always see is the whole grains. And what you will always see is chocolate, because like we're women. So, you know, if you really need to give us chocolate every so often, you know. Well, most of us are women. Sorry to all my lovely male colleagues who are dietitians. But it's, you know, I often say one of the nice things about being a dietitian is I am so relaxed about food. People nearly think you'll be the opposite, but you're not, because when you really understand the science and all of that, you can kind of go, look, you know, it's general healthy eating, which everybody knows. Do you know what I mean? I'd say to everybody with this, would you just take a breath? It's just food, relax. If it's whole grain, brilliant. Whether it comes out of a cereal box, it's fine. Or whether it's a packet of whole grain bread in the supermarket, it's fine. Guess what? Let's not put in all the treats. And I think the lunchbox thing drives parents crazy, because not only have you got the whole Instagram thing, and I was laughing, I have a post up on Instagram at Sarah Kyo or D about both lunchboxes and about processed foods, because that's the thing. Parents come in and they're like, oh my God, I'm so worried about the lunchboxes. Kids only eat 20% of their food at school. So it doesn't actually need to be that big a worry.
And it's also, there's this new thing that I'm only learning about now because I have a child. And so this kind of stuff, the algorithm on my Instagram has changed dramatically. But I see there's almost a thing between parents about how fresh and healthy is your kid's lunch. I mean, I was sent to school with white bread, peanut butter sandwiches or corned beef sandwiches. And there's not a bother on
me. And you've grown and you're fine.
Well, that's debatable.
But it's just, we worry too much about it. I mean, one of my kids went to school for 2 years with chocolate chip brioche buns in his lunchbox.
Okay.
And that's all he'd eat. So
that's what I'm taking from this conversation.
I mean, we want to talk about ultra processed. That was there. But the point was he needed to eat something in school and that was it. There was nothing else been eaten. So now he's got a lovely healthy lunchbox and it's wonderful. I could put it up on Instagram with pride. But
so the message of the day is chocolate brioche buns.
No, God, no. Okay. I'm not recommending it. All I'm saying is that as a parent, we need to actually... just relax. If you know, if they're eating reasonably well most of the time, and this is for everybody, the odd treat is absolutely fine.
Okay. Before I let you go, I am interested in warning labels. What do you make of them? Because the view of a lot of people on warning labels on this kind of food is that it's scary.
When you say warning labels, you're talking about saying that it's bad for you or...
Yes.
Oh, God, no, absolutely not. They're not needed. We don't need...
Like saying this is an ultra processed
food. No, absolutely not. We don't need to do that. We need to just look at people getting, as you said, ordinary food in, which I think the scaremongering, I always absolutely hate, and I've worked too long with people with eating disorders. We have to stop scaring people about food. You know, most people already know, get your fruit and veg in, get your whole grains in, get your proteins in, get your calcium in, you know, and if you have the odd treat on top of it, as soon as you start putting these warning labels, like, we barely do it on alcohol. You know, I really don't think the time is there to start doing it on foods at all.
So nothing in excess, basically.
Do you know, and moderation. Nothing new. Exactly.
We have a text in saying, I love to hear that Sarah isn't as stressed as people online can make you feel. I'm a new parent and I'm currently in the awful weaning stage and it's frightening. Tough. I thought things would get better, but the fear... will get better after the fear of pregnancy, but it's much worse when you're weaning. Would you have advice for parents who are weaning?
Loads. I mean, again, with the weaning, it's two things. Lots of variety for the kids.
Yeah.
And lots of textures. And they're the two things.
Texture is a thing my own son has an issue with at the moment. I try to disguise vegetables and things as best I can. I don't know how he does it, Sarah.
Oh, they'll find it.
He finds those peas... no matter what. And I'm like, how? The pea is so hidden. But he will find it, he will take it out and he will put it back.
Oh, don't underestimate the sensitivity of a baby's mouth. But you've up till about 18 months generally to get them used to new textures. And that's why we want to get them off the purees. Like, babies should be more or less eating family meals by 1 year. Cut into small pieces, but on normal family food by 1 year. And that's your target with weaning. And so we just need to move through. I think what sometimes happens, parents are so nervous about, are they going to choke? Are they going to gag?
Yeah.
And they get scared. I'm going to call out a wonderful website of a colleague of mine called weaning.ie. And there's another one, solidstart.ie. And they do courses and wonderful advice for parents on weaning if anybody wants
scary,
to have a look at
I
it.
Think.
Well, and you know what? It isn't. We have been doing this for tens of thousands of years. They'll be fine, you know.
Yeah, see, that this is half the problem is myself and my husband are sitting there looking at them, eyes completely wide open. Mm. And I'd say he's looking at us going, well, if you walked away, I'd give it a try and eat it.
Or stopped even sometimes encouraging them, just put it down beside them and ignore it. There's another really good book for parents, which is on the Food Safety Authority website called, now it's a good mouthful, it's called Best Practice for Infant Weaning Guidelines. Don't be put off by the mouthful of a title. It is a wonderful, wonderful book for parents. Okay. Really good.
There's another message in saying, with rising food prices and inflation and very little being done to curb this by the government, they are in fact forcing people to abandon the healthy diet, in my opinion. People also eat takeaways more to avoid electricity costs by turning off a cooker and a dishwasher thereafter. This also leads to health problems down the line, clogging up not only people's arteries, but the health system also. It's just a vicious circle. Any advice on cheaper options that are as healthy as possible?
Well, I have to say, I am so in awe of somebody actually writing that in, because I was only having this conversation with someone this morning that one of the aspects of ultra processed foods is they are cheaper and they need less cooking. So if you're on a very tight, low income, that actually becomes your option. And I have a friend working in the UK, and at the moment they can't give away potatoes at a food bank because potatoes take too long to cook and cost too much to cook, that people will take only pasta and rice. You have someone going, oh, you can get stewing steak is cheap, but that's 2 hours in an oven, which is actually very expensive. I've worked with homeless charities on education about cooking, and, you know, I sat down and nobody had an oven. I've worked with patients who didn't have a fridge. You know, I think sometimes we can be very middle class with what we worry about with, oh my God, ultra processed foods. And we forget there's people out there who don't have ovens or fridges or the money to afford to make a stew or a tin to make a bread at home. So in terms of advice on that, you are looking at quick. That's your stir fries. I would actually look at a lot of Asian cooking because they're based around actually low fuel cooking. With that, so those quick stir fries, that quick, you know, that your sushi is raw, non-cooked. So that's a lot of that is based around low fuel cooking. So they're actually quite good for things to have a look at with it. Yeah, yeah. And frozen is brilliant. Frozen veg are just as good as fresh, but they're often cheaper and then you don't have the food waste with it. So, and the same with frozen fruit as well. So they're often cheaper options long term with that if you have the space in your freezer then, which not everybody does either. So
it's a great tip though, great tip. Another text in saying, can you please ask Sarah, is plain pasta okay? My daughter, age 7, lives on just that. Also, food ouches. They're
pouches, probably.
Food pouches. Mm. Thank you very much, producer Etna. Food pouches. They're full of are they full of sugar, or any recommendations that are not as bad?
So food pouches are not full of sugar. What they will have is be full of fruit, and fruit will have its own natural sugar, but it's not added.
Okay.
They're not actually allowed.
And what about the plain pasta question?
Plain pasta is fine, but what you've got to look at for children needing a balanced diet, that pasta should be about a third of that child's meal, and there needs to be a protein and there needs to be a vegetable. But if you've got a very fussy eater, first rule is get food into them.
Okay.
Second rule then is to bring it in. And a nice thing you can do, I have to say, I've done a lot on fussy eating with kind of do talks and stuff to parents. And there's, I don't know how long we have, but a really nice technique for kids is to put a very small piece of the food you want them to eat on a side plate beside their dinner and say nothing and just do it time after time after time after time. Kids learn. They've so many sensory issues with food. You've got what it looks like, what it smells like, what it feels like. So usually if you do that, after about 5 times, they'll touch it. And after about 10 times, they'll touch their lips with it. And after about 15 times, they might taste it. But the crucial thing for the parent is to say nothing, whether they eat it or not. And sometimes it's just breaking down barriers with foods and getting them just familiar with
it. See, I've been doing a big hoo-ha when my lad...
Nothing. Keep it quiet.
I've been going, woo, yeah, clapping my hands and everything. So I shouldn't be doing that.
It depends on the child. But for most kids, eating should just be a thing that happens.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Just let them get on with it. I half the time when I'm working with parents for fussy eating, we're just saying, will you just stop taking any drama?
Yeah.
No fights, no rows, but also no celebration, no nothing. Bribe them if you want. I'm a big fan of eat that bit of apple and I'll give you a chocolate button, you know, and things like that. To get them started. It's not a long-term plan, right? And I'm not saying it's a healthy approach, but sometimes children need to actually swallow the food for the body to learn to relax and be familiar with it. And if you just need to do that 4 or 5 times, that's what you do. You
know? Yeah, it's interesting. As a child, my mum said for years... I couldn't have anything touching on the plate.
Oh, yeah.
But if they touched, I would eat nothing.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, magically, if they weren't touching, I'd finish the meal. And she said, if that's just what got you to eat, that's just what you do. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us. It's actually fascinating and I have learned a lot in a very short period of time there. You can find out more about what Sarah does at eatwell.ie. We'll be back after this.